All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, guess where we're going to be? Psalms 103. And I know by now some of you are probably thinking, are we not done with Psalms 103 yet? We worked for weeks, for months on memorizing it as a group, and I don't know how many of you got all of it memorized, but we worked at it. But as we approach Thanksgiving, there's just so much in this chapter. To remind us what we need to be thankful for. And last week we began looking at some of the things in this chapter that are thankworthy, things that we need to be giving God the thanks for. And this morning we're going to look at Psalms 103, verses 13 and 14, just those two verses. And I'm going to ask if you found that, if you would stand as we read God's word this morning. Psalms 103, beginning in verse 13, and this is what God's word shares. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Lord God, thank you for your word. I just pray you'd bless it this morning. Lord, as we study it and as we look at it, I just pray that you'd give us understanding. And I pray, Lord, that it would, again, change us, that it would mold us in more into who you want us to be. So help it to have an impact on our lives. And Lord, I know we're busy. I know we have schedules. I know we have many other things that can distract us during this time. But Lord, help us to set those aside, to focus on you, our relationship with you, and your word and message for us. And we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated. So Psalms 103, as we're talking about things that we need to be thankful for, last week, we talked about a couple verses that are really pretty important. If you remember, we talked about where it says that our God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. We need to be thankful that our God is merciful and gracious, don't we? Instead of being an angry God. Because the reality is, do we give God plenty of things to be angry about? We looked at some other scriptures where it shares pretty clearly that God is always angry with unrighteousness. Anything apart from him and his word, anything that works against his word, anything that goes against his word. And there are times in our lives when we do things that don't follow God's word. And there are times in life that we allow some of that unrighteousness to come in and we sin. And you know what? God is angry at that sin. And yet, because of his mercy and grace, he sent his son, Jesus Christ. That mercy that means that we don't get what we deserve. And we need to be grateful for that, don't we? Again, what do we deserve? Nothing. In fact, we deserve punishment for what we've done. And yet, God also shows us mercy, so we don't get what we deserve. But he also shows us grace. And that is giving someone something that they didn't earn, that they don't deserve. He gives us a chance to accept Jesus Christ, to have our sins forgiven, to have a home in heaven. Do you deserve that? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you don't. Because not everybody said no. And I don't mean to, you're all wonderful people, but we don't deserve it. And yet God gives it to us anyway. That's grace. And it says that God is slow to anger. We need to be grateful. But now as we look in verses 13 and 14, it says, like as a father pitieth his children. So that means we have a father. And first of all, we can be grateful for that, can't we? And it says, as a father pities his children. What do you think that means when it says that he has pity towards us? What does that word pity mean? What do you think? Compassion. Your Bible may say compassion instead of pity. Anything else? What does that word pity mean? When you show pity towards someone, what does that mean? Feel sorry for them? Well, you know, I like to look up words in the dictionary. And if you look up pity, there's two definitions. One means compassion for someone who is suffering. Does God have compassion for us when we suffer? And as we're here on this earth, do we have times of suffering? But it's also compassion for someone who has a weakness. Do we have weaknesses? The other definition is pity also means regret or disappointment. Do you think God ever has disappointment in us? It says, as a father pitieth his children. You know, as we think about our earthly children that we have, if you have children, have they ever disappointed you?
Never once.
Never once. Let's all be honest. If you're a parent, have your children ever disappointed you? Yes. There are times that they disappoint you. The times when they may not tell you the truth about something. Are you disappointed in that? The times when they may not show love and kindness to their siblings. Are you disappointed in that? The times when you're out in public and they embarrass you in some way, shape, or form. That happens, right? Are you disappointed in them? We were somewhere last night, and Caleb and Sarah were there, and Ridge was, he was just kind of running all over, and for a while he was not a happy little camper. And I think Caleb, it was bothering Caleb, and I said, are you kind of embarrassed the way he's acting? And he said, well, yeah, a little bit. And I said, if you think this is the last time he's going to embarrass you, it's not. But don't worry, he'll be a teenager, and then you'll have lots of opportunities to embarrass him. But sometimes we're disappointed in our children, the way they act, the things they say, whatever. We can be disappointed in them. And as God looks down at us as our Father, do you think he's ever disappointed? Yes, the times when we fail to be the people God wants us to be. So when we look at this word pity, it can be true for both those meanings. And when God looks on us and sees all our weaknesses, do you think he pities us? We understand that word probably with animals more than anything else. You see a little bird by the side of the road or by your house that's got an injured little wing, and how do you feel towards that injured little animal? Yeah, all of you just said it. Aww. That's pity. Feeling sorry for something that's either suffering or has a weakness or has a flaw. And you know, as God looks at us, do you understand that in part that's how God sees us? He understands that we have weaknesses, that we have flaws. And that's all part of that where it says that as a father pitieth his children, the Lord pities those that fear him. And the reason he does that is found in the next verse, in verse 14. It says, for he knows our frame. Do you know what that means? He made us. He knows us. He knows us inside and out. He knows everything about us. You know, it's interesting as you go through life, do you discover things about yourself? You learn about yourself as you're faced with challenges, as you're faced with struggles, you learn how you're going to respond, but you're always learning more about yourself. If you have a spouse, do they learn about you? Do they? Yeah. They learn many, many good things, right? What's the other side of that? They learn some not so good things. Whenever I do premarital counseling, I try to help couples understand that you're going to learn a lot more about your spouse in the next however many years you're married, whether that's 50 or however many years, you learn about them. Some of the things you learn are going to be exciting. You think, oh, that's great. I didn't know that about you. Other times you're going to say, oh, I didn't know that about you. And it's not going to be as exciting. And it may be disappointing. But we need to understand that God knows us completely. How does that make you feel? And some of you are like, not sure what to think about that. To think that God knows you completely. What if we all had the chance in here to know you completely? How would you feel about that? It'd be scary. That if I picked out one of you and your entire life and all your thoughts and everything was going to be on the overhead up here. So that we would know you completely. Annabelle's down here. No. How would you feel about that? Mixed feelings? A little uncomfortable? But folks, that's the way it is with God. It says he knows our frame. He knows all about us because he's the one that made us. He sees our outside. He created the way that we look, but he also sees our inside. Look in, and I know you know these verses, but look in Psalms 139. It's just a few chapters away. Psalms 139. Beautiful chapter, wonderful thoughts, but I want you to look in starting in verse 13 of Psalms 139. For you have possessed my inward parts. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows right well. My substance was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in your book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. You know, this is talking about the fact that God creates every person that is on this earth. That's what it means. And right now, I think there's what, 8 billion people on this earth? Something like that. Who created each one of them? God. And I don't know if you look back through the history of the earth, how many people have existed altogether? I don't know. Somebody can look it up and tell me later. But do you know what's true about every one of those people? God created them. It says he knows our frame because he created us. And if you look at verse 14, it says, I will praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We're wonderfully made, aren't we? Aren't we? And then it says after that, marvelous are your works. Well, if we are a work of God, what does that mean about each one of us? It says his works are marvelous and we're one of his works. So what's the natural thought? We are marvelous. Did you know you're marvelous? Go ahead, say that. I am marvelous. Why are you laughing? It's true, right? Look at the person next to you. Tell them that they're marvelous. Some of you can't do it with a straight face. Why is that? I mean, it is true, right? It says that all God's works are marvelous. We are one of God's works. That means we are marvelous. Right? Yes, we're a creation of God. We are marvelous. However, do we always feel marvelous? Do we always act marvelous? Do you sometimes want to look at your spouse and say, you are most definitely not marvelous right now? You see, here's the problem with that. There's a couple things we can look at here. We can look at the physical and we can look at the spiritual. You know, it talks about here that God creates us in verse 13. You possessed my reins. You created me. You covered me in my mother's womb. In verse 16, your eyes saw my substance, yet being imperfect. You know, when we're in the womb, God is creating us and forming us, but are we complete? No, it's a process, isn't it? We're not born until everything is complete and everything is formed. And, you know, we just had a granddaughter born just minutes ago, literally, because she was complete. The formation was done and she was born. But that's a process. It says that in verse 16, your eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. That means not completed yet. God saw us when we were still not completed, but when we're born, we get to see the completed form, right? That's the physical part of it. But as we think about the spiritual part of it, are we completed yet? You know, God sees us, but he also sees the areas that aren't completed yet. He sees the flaws in us. Because again, God knows everything about us, right? How many flaws do you have? One? Two? Half dozen? Whole list? Does God see those? Yep. Because we are imperfect. We are still not everything that we can be. And yet, you know the wonderful thing? He loves us anyway. Isn't that amazing? You know, I think in my life about all my flaws, and I have many, many. And to think that God still loves me anyhow is a wonderful thought. And the even more wonderful thing is God, he sees me as I am. He sees all those flaws. But you know what God also sees? He sees me completed. He knows not just what I am now, but what I can be and what I will be someday when I get to heaven. He doesn't just see us in our imperfection, but when we accept Jesus Christ and our sins are forgiven, you know what? God sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what he sees? He doesn't see then all those flaws in our life. They haven't gone away, but he doesn't see all those. What he sees us is complete in Christ. And that's what the Bible says, that we are complete in Christ. Just like that baby isn't complete till it's born, when we accept Jesus Christ and his blood covers our sins, God then sees us as complete. He doesn't see all those flaws, but he sees us through the eyes of Jesus Christ. And he loves us. And I hope we understand what a wonderful thing that is, to know that we have a God that loves us, a God that knows us and formed us, and even though he sees our flaws, he still loves us. And you know what? That's what we need to do for other people, isn't it? Do we get caught up sometimes in the flaws of other people? There's some people we have a hard time loving because of some of their flaws. You know what? We need to overlook those and love them anyway, don't we? In the same way that God loves us. So as we think about things that we need to be thankful for, things that we need to praise God for, we need to be thankful that God created us, that he gave us a gift of life. But we also need to be thankful that God doesn't just see us as we are now, but he sees us as what we can be. He sees our potential. You know, we talk about that with kids a lot of times, right? We sometimes see their flaws, but then we can also see the potential that's there. And we tell them, look, you can do something wonderful with your life. You know, God says the same thing to us. He sees our potential. He sees all the amazing things that we can do for him. He doesn't just see us through physical eyes. You know, you think of stories in the Bible of people that God chose. You know, when he chose David, what was David when God chose him? A shepherd boy. Was he a huge, muscular man? No. And yet he's the one that went out and fought Goliath. And God saw something in David. You see, God, he doesn't look at the outside. He sees what's inside and sees what we can be for him. And I just want to encourage each one of us to just thank God for his love, that he does love us despite our flaws. And that is the kind of love we need to share with the world around us. The love of Christ, the tremendous love that God has for us. Let's bow our heads this morning. Lord God, I just thank you for this day that you've given us, and I thank you for your word. And I thank you that we can read in Psalms and know that you're a God that knows us better than anyone else. You formed us. You created us. You see us inside and out. And Lord, sometimes that can be unsettling to think about the fact that you see all our flaws. You see our thoughts that sometimes are just wouldn't be pleasing to you. And yet, Lord, you still loved us enough to send your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And because of that, when we accept Jesus Christ, that you no longer see those flaws, but you see us completed and you see all that we can be. And I pray, Lord, that we would just thank you for your love towards us. And I pray that as we go through our lives, that we would just share your love with others, that we wouldn't focus on all the flaws that we see in others, but we would just share your love. So help us, Lord, to be thankful for these things and to be thankful for the God that you are. And we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As we close this morning, the God that loves us is here. It doesn't matter what struggles, what trials we have, God says, I will be there with you. If there's anything you'd like to pray this morning and talk to God about, the altar's open. If you want me to pray with you, I would love to. But the altar is open as we close in song this morning. And I pray you remember that marvelous and wonderful love that he has for each one of us. And I pray that we strive to share that love with the world around us, because it's a world that needs to hear about the love of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads as we close. Lord God, thank you again for your word this morning. Thank you that we can just come together as family, that we can share in song and share in praises and prayer requests, and we can just be just the family of God, your family. And I pray, Lord, that as we leave this place, we remember and understand that we don't leave you here, but that you go with us, that you promise your presence in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that we would just have a desire as we go through our life to share you with everybody that we come in contact with. And thank you for the great, amazing, marvelous, wonderful love that you have for us. And we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,
Amen.
God bless you and have a fantastic week.